Okie dokie, I think we're still waiting for Tebow, but we will get started without him for now, and then we will invite him to speak once he gets here. So, hi everyone, welcome to Informal Spaces. As you know, or may not, we do this every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. You can follow us on Twitter for a recap and also reminders of these spaces themselves. You can subscribe to our newsletter to get the latest blog information, and also please join us on the forum for discussion on props, very relevant to this spaces. Just a little bit of housekeeping. This is not investment advice. Anything spoken about in this spaces is just an insight into what we're working on and Informal. You can read the blog for more information and also check out our YouTube for the community calls as well as informal conversations. Love to get kicked off with some intros. I'll just go in the order that's on my screen. Ethan, would you like to introduce yourself for the crowd?
Hi all, Ethan here, co-founder of Cosmos, CEO of Informal, or as I like to say, just some guy. And yeah, still working on all the Cosmos stuff and building up our teams at Informal.
Awesome. Jahan, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sorry, I was just unmuting myself. I'm Jahan. I'm the product owner of the Informal Hub team.
Awesome. Matt, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, I'm Matt. I'm the business and community manager at the validator here at Informal Systems.
Awesome. Glad to have everyone on board. So today we're going to talk about Prop 818. There's been obviously a lot of discussion and a lot of spaces about this topic. And we just wanted to, you know, we posted some things about the issue that was in the parameters, but we wanted to give a little bit more of a holistic insight into what happened and what we're going to do from now on. Jahan, do you want to go through kind of what happened with Prop 818?
Yeah, so Prop 818, I think probably most people here know this, because we don't even have that many people here yet, but Prop 818 was a equivocation slashing proposal. And this was actually the first one of its kind. And so just to give you a little bit of background on equivocation slashing proposals, the way that replicated security works is that validators get slashed for double signing on a consumer chain, or they're supposed to get slashed for double signing on a consumer chain on the Cosmos Hub. So at the time we launched interchain security earlier this year, we did not have the code ready to cryptographically verify double signing, or it's, as it's technically called, equivocation. And usually that's usually done by the commit process in a single chain case, by the commit process of the chain. And it's a little bit more challenging if you're trying to evaluate evidence from another chain, because you don't have, you know, all the information you need and stuff. So the first version of interchain security would trust the consumer chain to slash validators. And that is okay, I think, if you sort of consider the consumer chain to be a module of the hub and you're sort of putting it through the same security processes and stuff as modules that are installed directly on the hub. But if the consumer chains are kind of as they've ended up being, sort of separate projects and separate dev teams, separate it's just separate sort of workflows, it's not as good of an idea, because then you'd have to trust that consumer chain wouldn't just go crazy and slash everybody if there's no way to verify it. So we decided that while we're working on the verification code, we're going to make it so that if someone's going to be slashed on the hub, they have to be like, has to be approved by governance. The slash has to be approved. And so that's what the equivocation slash proposal is for. And Isabel, I don't want to just launch into a whole monologue here. So if there's anything else somebody else wants to add or anything.
Yeah, Ethan and Matt, feel free to jump in at any point. But, you know, I think it's important for us to also say when we were planning the double slashing that, you know, you had told me that we were really preparing for like a malicious attack, right? Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So I guess before we can go into what went wrong with 818 and what's going to happen in the future, I will say that probably a lot of the, mistakes we made, or we'll get into that, but like a lot of the stuff that we could have handled differently was kind of because we were thinking, we're designing for, you know, how can we make sure that nobody is going to be able to, you know, do a double signing attack without getting slashed for it. And at the same time, make sure that, you know, a consumer chain is not going to go crazy and slash everybody. So it was kind of like the mentality is like, how can we avoid, you know, funds being lost, basically. And I think now in retrospect, we weren't thinking enough about, hey, how do we make sure that, you know, a bunch of people's time doesn't get wasted? And because that's what happened here, you know, no funds were lost, but a bunch of time was wasted. And so that was kind of, I think that was kind of the mistake, is we designed for the worst case scenario. We didn't necessarily design for or have procedures in place for kind of the average case scenario. I'll get into more of why that is, or why, you know, why that's my assessment. So what happened was, I guess let's talk about what went wrong then. So what went wrong, first of all, in my opinion, one of the things that went wrong is that there was a debate about whether or not the validator should be slashed. And that's not to say that I think that they definitely, you know, should have been slashed without debate or anything. I just think that, you know, during the voting period of this proposal was not the time to have that debate. So it was, you know, it was basically, I mean, because it's, you know, there's a limited time, emotions are running high. You have these validators that are going to be slashed. It's like there's an emotional component to it. It's a lot harder to have sort of a coherent discussion with that sort of emotional angle that you're going to get if it's happening, it's being decided on, you know, on the spur of the moment. So,
and I think Ethan, you had mentioned something about how, you know, we should you know, sometimes exercise grace in these kind of instances. Could you speak a little bit more to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think in this case, you know, obviously the intention is that validators that double sign get slashed. But insofar as it hasn't been automated, and, you know, there hasn't been like a explicit, explicit constitution around how to handle these kinds of cases, there always is an opportunity, so long as something is under governance, to use that to exercise some grace, right? So I think there was also an opportunity here. I mean, you know, a bunch of things happened here that complicate this one. But insofar as things are under governance and we are in a period where it's like, you know, training wheels, so to speak, ICS is still new and young. We're just kind of getting started. We could, there are certainly, you know, valid arguments to make for saying, okay, this was a mistake. It was an accident. There were like procedural errors in a couple of the validators. There was no malintent as far as we know. There was no kind of negative overall impact. The slashing could be relieved, right? And there are certainly other kinds of like slashing designs that sort of try to bake that in, right? Right now, the slashing design we use is very simple. It's just a fixed amount, regardless. It's a fixed percentage of the stake that gets slashed, regardless of how many people double sign or how big your stake is, right? One idea that's kind of floated around that seems quite compelling is that the size of the slash, the percentage of the slash, should be somewhat, you know, proportional or a function of the amount of stake that double signed. And so if it was the case that, you know, only a very small amount of stake double signed, then the slashing amount is very small, right? So maybe it's still not zero, but it's very small. Whereas if the stake that double signed is a lot larger, then, you know, the slashing amount could be a lot larger. So if we were following something like that, you know, in this case, I think the combined stake was like, you know, much less than 1% even. And so even if they were slashed with logic like that, the amount would be quite small, and that would be acceptable, right? So thinking about those kinds of things, you know, you could think about, okay, well, we don't really have that logic in place right now. We're not going to make a proposal to change the slashing amount just for one slash and change it back or something like that. That would all be too complicated. But, you know, it does suggest that there's the possibility of sort of giving them some leeway here, and then trying to work with, you know, validators to check in on their setups. Like, hey, is everyone ready to make sure this doesn't happen to them again, right? Like, we should use this as an opportunity to talk about secure validator setups. You know, why isn't everyone using secure key management software, either TMKMS or Horcrux, right, which have been available for a very long time, considered best practices, and just like work with supporting the validators to make sure, you know, we have the strongest validator set, everyone's using best practices, everyone's operationally very strong, and so on, so that this kind of thing doesn't happen again. So, you know, that's just, yeah, go ahead.
Well, what I would say is kind of, I think either view would be fine. I think that if we had come out and said, you know, this is, I think it, like, if it had been like, if there had been a community consensus beforehand that, yeah, we're going to, if it looks like it's accidental, or if it's very, very obviously accidental as this was, we're going to let it go. If that had been the prearranged thing, or if the prearranged thing had been like, look, if there's an accidental slash, you know, if there's an accidental level sign, you know, we slash. And I think we could have done more probably to release this feature with sort of a constitution of sorts, and maybe that could be changed during the discussion period. But it would have been good for to sort of foster some discussion in the community before it was released on how accidental double signs would be handled. Because I think either viewpoint makes sense, but I think having debated it during the voting period is not ideal.
I think that's right. I think that's the big lesson here, is the sort of missing, you know, constitutional documentation and discussion ahead of time about these things, so that, you know, because these need to be ongoing discussions. They're not things that, you know, should be happening at the last minute when the vote is already live. It's like a little late to do it, and then there's confusion, and then there's just like, you know, vitriol on Twitter. So we could be a lot better about that, but that starts with like, you know, better upfront process and work. And
And we kind of, so we did have, like, I wrote a thing about it when we brought the feature out, about how the security in an attack scenario would be equivalent, et cetera, et cetera. And in the, I think in the second paragraph, very early on in that, I write, you know, this is intended to be a double check to stop a consumer chain from going crazy and slashing everybody. So that was stated, but I think it wasn't necessarily, that wasn't necessarily in the prop, was linked from the prop. I think it probably was written in the prop too, but it wasn't like kind of, there was nothing about, you know, here's how you vote in these situations. I think that in the future, if we're designing protocols that have a governance component to them, part of the protocol design should be, what is the human protocol? How are the humans intended to act here? And obviously there's going to be some leeway because, if you are putting something to governance, it means that the code, it's not 100% black and white. And so the code can't decide, but there should be some sort of, you know, something that's pretty unambiguous for humans at least. So that's one lesson. Then that's just the Prop 818, you know, in and of itself. But then what happened was that we discovered over the weekend that, and we should have, this is something we probably should have looked very closely at the prop the minute it came out too. That's another thing. I actually engaged in the debate on Friday without having looked very carefully at the parameters of the prop. We looked at them carefully. We realized the prop had been constructed incorrectly. And basically, the way that the slashing prop is supposed to work is that it basically has this data structure in it that is used by the hub's slashing mechanism to slash the validator. And it's basically all the information that you need to slash that validator. And it takes a block height. So it takes the block height and the time at which the offense occurred. And so that block height is intended to be the block height on the hub, because you need to slash the validators, you can slash it on the hub. It looks at who is a delegator at that time and stuff. But the proposal had been submitted with a block height of the consumer chain of Neutron. And so, and I guess probably also the time of Neutron, but since the time on different blockchains very closely synced, that's not a big deal. But it had been submitted with the block height of Neutron. And so that means that it just, you know, won't work, because as it happens, the block height of Neutron is, you know, is much, much lower than the hub because Neutron just started. And so that evidence will be, you know, will be rejected as being sort of outside, being too old. So that was also something that was in our documentation about how to construct the evidence. However, I think, you know, it could be clear. Like, I think we, in our documentation, you can read about what it's meant for, what it does. And that it says, you know, it says in there, you need to map the block height to the provider block height and the time to the provider time. But we didn't necessarily have a thing where it was like, here's a step-by-step guide, how to submit this, this proposal. And so it could have been clear, although it was in there. And so the thing is, with that incorrect block height, it means that this proposal, even if it passes, will not result in a slash. I think, you know, that's also something perhaps we could have done more validation in the code. It gets validated by the slashing mechanism in the hub, but it could have been something where it wouldn't even let you submit it, just so that maybe the person submitting it could sort of, you know, see if, that, you know, see that something's wrong and try to resubmit it or whatever, or at least give them warning that it was wrong. That's not going to be foolproof. So, you're not going to be able to tell 100% every time. Like, the block height could be wrong, but it could be just a little bit wrong depending on the scenario. So it's not like there's a way to foolproof, you know, make sure it's always going to work, but at least we could have like put in something to filter out ones that were really, really wrong, like this one was. And that would also improve the UX and sort of give the user, an idea of how to, you know, if they did make a mistake, a really bad mistake, then they could fix it. So we considered, you know, what would happen if someone resubmitted this proposal? Like, what if someone resubmitted this proposal with a corrected block time on the hub so that it would actually work? And we concluded that this is probably not a good idea, because what happens is, and I don't want to get too in the weeds in the slashing module, you know, design or whatever, but what happens is that the proposal needs 2 weeks to pass or fail, 2 week voting period. And at this point, once we discover this, kind of by Monday, it was already going to be, you know, it was already been, had been more than, I think the slash, the double sign happened on August 1st. So it had already been, you know, a week and a half or more. And so it was going to, that proposal was going to pass after the unbonding period had passed on the hub. And so what that would do is it would result in people who had started unbonding from these validators, who had started unbonding, like, you know, immediately after the slash or a few days after, or after this double sign, a few days after the double sign or whatever. Those guys would be able to get away, you know, scot-free, because they would have no, they wouldn't even be, yeah, bonded. They'd be unbonded. They'd be completely out of the system. But unfortunately, the way the math works in the staking module, that would actually end up in the people still bonded receiving a heavier slash than they would have otherwise. So more than 5%. And while I think the difference wouldn't be that much, although it increases the longer, the longer after the actual event you go, that difference increases, it doesn't seem wise to put in a proposal that's going to slash the wrong people. And I think, you know, some people argue that, oh, well, nobody should be delegating these validators anymore anyway, so fair warning. But I just think it's not a good idea to do that. And I also think, I mean, this, looking into the slashing math, it's very complicated in there. I think this issue could come up in other scenarios, but it's very unlikely. But definitely would come up in this scenario. So it wouldn't break anything, but just the people still delegated to those validators would get an even heavier slash, more than 5% that they're supposed to. And the people who are undelegated would get off. So we concluded that it would not be a very good idea to, you know, for us or for anybody else to sort of resubmit this proposal. So that is kind of the, that's kind of the overview. We're left now where these validators are not slashed. They won't be slashed by this proposal. But they, are still, they're still there. And I think there is this debate about whether, you know, whether you should have even slashed them in the first place. Even once the mistake was found, the proposal still wasn't passing then. So I don't think it's like, there's certainly no danger of any kind of security issue or loss of funds or anything from these validators being on still, you know, in the validator set. But it's also, it's not, you know, it's not great optically. Yeah, so I can go on to, I think we've covered everything about what went wrong. One more thing I would say is that probably our team, or at least we should have communicated with other teams or sort of decided, like, is somebody taking care of submitting these proposals when they come up? That would have been a good thing to do. Instead of just relying on somebody from the community to do it, it would have been good to probably have some people in place, whether it was our team or somebody else, who knew how to submit the proposals and were like, yeah, I'm going to submit them immediately when slashing come, when double signs come up. So I think that's covered everything that went wrong. And I can go into now in the, what's going to happen in the future, but I was wondering if anybody else wants to say anything.
Yeah, Matt or Ethan, did you have anything to add? Nope. I think we're good, John. I think that like covers pretty much like everything before and during the proposal and what's been happening currently. But I think it would be great if we could go into kind of like what's our solution? How are we getting there? What are we planning and what are we going to do in the meantime before we get to that solution?
Yeah. So like I said, there's all these things where, you know, we could have done things differently or improve the UX. I mean, what it is just improving the UX, kind of having set more guidance and guidelines in place on whether or not to slash, improve the UX for creating the proposal, and then also had people in place who knew what they were doing to create the proposal. All those things, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda, 2020 hindsight. But I'm going to talk about what we're going to do in the future. So as I said in the beginning, this governance-based slashing is a temporary feature. And we have, you know, since the beginning of the year, we have a lot of other things on our plates, but we've been working on creating the code to verify double signs from one chain to another. And that code is almost done. So we looked at what the release timelines are like. And with the hub, we shoot for monthly releases. And a big part of that is you don't try to get things into a release that's going out on the last minute. And unless it's like a serious emergency, which I don't really consider this to be. So V12 is right now going, V11 just went live yesterday. V12 is going into testing right now. It is in testing and testnets. V12 has the liquid staking module. That's a long-awaited module, and so we're not going to try to get our cryptographic equivocation verification code into V12 because we don't want to delay the LSM. It's already been delayed a little bit by the extensive review process that's been going on for it. So the cryptographic verification. Excuse me, the cryptographic is a mouthful. The cryptographic equivocation verification code is going to go in into V13. And that will be going into testing next month. And it will be if everything goes well with the schedule and the upgrade proposal and whatnot, that will be going live in mid-October sometime. So once that is in, there will be no more cryptographic slashing proposals at all. And so this will not be an issue anymore, at least not for double signing. There's a whole discussion about fraud votes for mesh security and stuff, but that's a very different discussion. Probably learned a lot of lessons here, but we'll probably talk about that later. But basically, we'll remove that code. The governance-based slashing is going to be gone. And so it really doesn't make sense to kind of go in and try to make the improvements, like try to make it more automatic or have it fill in some of the fields for you or have an error come up if it looks like you might have done something wrong or whatnot. It doesn't make sense to improve that code because we wouldn't really be able to get it in to production really any earlier than the actual real thing that we really want. So that's the plan going forward. It's going to be cryptographically verified and validators will be slashed immediately, automatically on the hub if they double sign a consumer chain. Unless we go to something like, you know, quadratic slashing, like Ethan was talking about, where you actually have a programmatic method to excuse a slash, that's what will happen. So that takes care of the problem. However, we do have this time where that stuff is not yet in production. And during that time, we want to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again on the off chance that somebody double signs again on a consumer chain. And so we're going to be monitoring ourselves. We're going to be monitoring for double signs on consumer chains. And if we see one, we will be submitting a proposal immediately. And that way we'll, you know, that way it will be within the time limit, will be happen soon enough, will be formatted correctly. There may still be a debate on whether or not the validator should be slashed. But it's really, you know, this is not a scenario that's going to be going on for much longer because we are, you know, we're going to be replacing with the code we really want from the beginning. So also, I think we'll also make sure to educate maybe some other teams around the ecosystem, maybe consumer chain teams, maybe other teams that work on the hub, how to do it themselves as well. And then that way, you know, even if we were to miss it or something, people will be around who are waiting to do it, watching for it, and know to do it immediately. So that's basically the plan going forward.
Yeah, and I think that's really great because I think that, you know, we are core developers of the Cosmos Hub, but also it's a community effort. So everyone involved, and I think that's the beauty of it, right? Like what happened with Stride as well, like a bunch of teams jumped in. So obviously, like we'll be paying attention and things like that, but also the other teams in the ecosystem will be empowered to do so as well. So I think that's really great. I think in terms of like what happened, what's happening now, what will happen, and what's happening in the meantime has all pretty much been covered. But Ethan, I know when we were talking about it earlier this week, you had, you know, some things that you were saying about the community at large and, you know, how we do governance and things like that. So I'd love to hear, you know, as closing thoughts, kind of like how you see it going forward in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying a bit about it earlier. I think we need to do more work. You know, Jahan touched on it as well. I think we need to do more work up front in like defining, you know, the human element of it and the, you know, the like constitution kind of notion, like how we're expected to behave. It's sort of implicit that like right now, for instance, in this case, though it's not just about, you know, it's not just about slashing governance, about governance in general, but, you know, in this case, it's kind of implicit that like, oh, you double sign, you should be slashed because that's how the code is supposed to be. And you know, it's not even supposed to be under governance, but so long as it is, you know, what does that mean? How are we supposed to behave? And we need to be really, really clear about that because the discussion during the 2-week proposal shouldn't be about, you know, normally when we put up a governance proposal, there's supposed to be a discussion on the forum ahead of time, right? And so it's already supposed to be a kind of clear, you know, somewhat clear consensus before something even goes on chain. In these cases, it's a little bit different because, you know, it's time sensitive. It's supposed to be automatic, but it's not. So there should be some kind of, you know, so during the governance, during the proposal voting period is not really the time to have that more fundamental discussion. But that doesn't mean that discussion shouldn't happen at all. It needs to be happening sort of more ongoing. So I think, you know, the Cosmos, especially the Cosmos Hub, is a very unique kind of blockchain in the world, just given the level, given its history, the level of decentralization among the teams, all this stuff. And if it's going to prove itself, it really needs to step like to lean into good governance and governance processes and sort of show how governance can be done kind of well and the, you know, the upside of the politics. And I think we've seen both the good and bad in the Cosmos Hub in that regard. And I'm sort of hopeful we can do a lot more groundwork to for, you know, to make clear the sort of good side of things more, and really kind of lead by example and having, you know, good sound politics, good governance processes, good discussions. You know, I think a lot of people sometimes just get discouraged by the vitriol they see on Twitter. So I'd love to see more kind of pushing back against that, sound reasoning, you know, less name calling, all this kind of stuff. So, you know, there's a lot, there's a lot we can do there, but it's just, you know, at the end of the day, it's just about being excellent to each other and working to coordinate on these things. They're difficult things. You know, it's not surprising. It's challenging. It's something to celebrate because of, you know, our unique kind of position in the ecosystem, but, it takes work. And so we have to put in the work.
Yeah, I think that summarized it excellently. And, you know, hopefully going forward that we as informal systems will help kind of like encourage that. But also, you know, it takes a village to create a successful community. So thank you all. Yeah. Thank you all for joining us on the specific spaces. And if, you know, Ethan, Jahan, Matt, you don't have anything further, I think it'd be a nice time to close out.
Cool. Are there any questions?
Yeah, are there any questions from the audience? You know, again, fostering discussion, we'd love to have anybody who has input or questions for our team or what we're doing, raise their hands. But I think we have one.
Tebow's not here, so we can also talk about the 16th century.
Yes, exactly. we do have one from Architect Nodes. Welcome to the stage. Architect Nodes, are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So, I was listening to Jahan and he talked about, you know, what needs to be done in code. But before we even get to that, I think it seems like there are some concerns around how double slashing should work in general. And then there were some ideas thrown out around, you know, proportional to stake, or probably we are trying to get to the slashing should be equivalent to the significance of double sign. So as we go through that, it seems like we are still in the early stages of figuring out what to code before we even get to code. So how are we trying to reason through these scenarios? Is that going to be on Cosmos Hub Forum? Or are you guys planning to engage community to get guidance and make us part of the resolution in this? Because double signs are real, they happen. It's painful, it's sad, but I kind of like the idea that not every double sign means the end of the world for that particular validator. So how are we going to resolve this?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, there is a very old post on the forum, long discussion about proportional slashing. It may be time to revive it. I think the current plan is to use the current slashing that's already there and just extend it to consumer chain. So there's no like, you know, new design going on in the core slashing module to date. I would be very excited to see the proportional slashing discussion opened up again, especially, you know, coming out of this incident. If we have to do a whole bunch of work on that, that's going to be, you know, that would delay automating slashing on consumer chains. Maybe that's acceptable to the community, maybe not. And we move forward with the current approach, which is just, you know, the way slashing currently works on the hub extended to consumer chains. And in the future, potentially update it to something different. Jahan, I don't know if you have if you want to add anything to that.
Yeah, there's some noise in the background there, Ethan. Yeah, so I think definitely the top priority is to get the cryptographic equivocation verification working. However. I think I basically Ethan said, I mean, there's a discussion about it, what these Ethereum actually does this. I think Enoma also is, I don't know if they're not really launched, but they're going to do this. And what you do is basically the way to mitigate accidental slashes is actually pretty simple. And that is that you just basically if the slash is for only a very small part of the power, which is what you're going to have if a validator accidentally double signs. I mean, even the biggest validator is only a few percent. And so the majority of validators are like 0.1%. So if it's for such a small proportion of the power, you don't even have a problem from double signing unless you got at least 33% doing it. So if it's so low, you know, so low that it's not even significant, what you do is you just have the slash amount be lower. And
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. Actually, implementing that is a little tougher because slash evidence can come in at different times. So you need to have a thing where basically somebody might get slashed a little at first, and then more evidence of double signs on the same block come in, then you slash everybody who had already been slashed to that block a little bit more. There's also questions about, you know, I guess they have to be double signing on the same, an attack would be double signing, they would all be double signing on the same state. There'd be some decisions to make around there. Like you look at like whether they're double signing on the same thing, like they have the real version and the double signed version, but the double signed version is the same across both, or what. So there's a lot of decisions to be made. It's a complicated technical thing. And I think, yeah, it's just a matter of whether there's enough demand for it. Maybe we should start the discussion again, because it would be a lot of work. And I think that's, some people say, well, you know, if you're using TMKMS or you're using Horcrux, those things will not ever let you double sign. I'm sure they could, you know, it might be able to happen anyway, obviously, if things go wrong. But, you know, there are people who say if you follow best practices, then nobody needs to be worried about double signing. So I think that we need to probably get more discussion and more of a clear signal from the community and especially the validators on whether double signing mitigation is a big priority. Because I know a lot of validators say, well, I don't double sign because I do this stuff, and so nobody should double sign. But maybe that's not the right opinion to take.
Yeah, did that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely. In my mind, I think we use TMKMS, we even use FSMs and all, but like at the end, that's just a technical and operational solution to a problem where on a Cosmos-based chain, if you double sign, you are tombstone, right? So other than just financial penalty, it's the social slashing that's even worse. So even if we don't code it, I think some healthy discussion around significance of double slashing, maybe more awareness, because I'm new to the ecosystem, 1 year old or so, would be helpful. And we could come up with the approach, and whether we execute on it or not would be left to the community, right, and prioritization. But just thinking through the problem in a logical way and seeing what should be an appropriate penalty for a double slash, double sign, that would be appropriate. I know TMKMS and Horcrux, I don't use Horcrux, but I've heard, you know, complexities and financial aspects around it. But yeah, TMKMS we use, but still, the protocol should be resilient regardless of what operators are doing, right? So I think it's a worthy discussion.
Yeah, one other detail actually to this is, well, the tombstoning is a very good point, because, you know, one other question is, you know, if their percentage is small enough, do you also not tombstone them? That's, if a validator's tombstone definitely is good. Even if the slash is very small, it, you know, prevents any, you know, or much financial loss to the delegators. But that validator, if they're tombstoned, even if there's not much of a slash, they're still gone. So there is a question there. Is there a threshold below which you might not even tombstone them? And I don't know, you know, obviously maybe that's a really bad idea. Maybe you always have tombstone, but yeah, these things need to be sort of reasoned out. Another aspect to it also is that having that, it's been called quadratic slashing, that's obviously using a certain function to calculate it, but you know, whatever it is, I don't know if the general term for this stuff is, but you know, accidental double sign mitigation. One thing is, a benefit of that might be that we could raise the top slash percentage to like 100%. So if a third of validators do double sign, which is clearly an attack, then maybe they get slashed 100%. And so that would be, you know, obviously, it's again, one of those things that's very theoretical. So it's unclear how, you know, but it's I think in theory, it should really be with proof of stake. It depends how you look at it, too, I think, and there's different things to consider. But like, if you're saying it's secured by a certain number of tokens, but then that's not the number of tokens that will be slashed. And it's really only 5% of that, you know, there's an argument to be made that if a Cosmos chain is slashing at 5%, it's really only secured by 5% of its stake. So, I think it's not that simple and cut and dry, but, there are benefits as well, like on the security front to using the proportional slashing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's also the larger point. I think, and I hope more of the space is starting to recognize this, like, you know, economic security isn't the be-all end all. It's a very important part, but yeah, I've been trying to make the point for a while that it's not just economic security that blockchain provides. It's political economic security. You have to consider the, like, political structure of a chain when you're reasoning about its security, which makes it much more difficult to reason about, and also, you know, makes it clear that, like, we don't, as an ecosystem, really understand what security means. And, you know, we constantly see things get massive amounts of adoption that don't have the kind of security other people think they should. And that's because, you know, security actually includes the political structures underlying things. And so we need to take that into account. I think John Charb is making the same point in calling it, you know, proof of governance. So I haven't looked into that too deeply. But so, you know, we have to keep the sort of larger context in mind. It's not just economic security is definitely important, and you know, sets a sort of, like, outside spread on the cost of on the actual cost of attacking these systems. But there's also, you know, political and social elements to it as well. So having the slashing system somehow be more you know, responsive or adaptable, and that's part of why proportional slashing is compelling, is because it, you know, it kind of scales appropriately with the attack vector. And so, yeah, like Johan was saying, just slashing 5%, you know, well, maybe that means your economic security is only 5%, but then there's the whole tombstoning component, which plays in that whole validator is now out of the set, basically, and so all the stake associated with them, even though they only got slashed 5%, you know, there's large political and social ramifications for that. So how do you actually, you know, evaluate in a single number the security? I don't think you can. I think, you know, we want to move away from that. It makes it harder to reason about, but, you know, emphasizes the, like, cultural element of each of the, and political element of each of these chains, and that's really what we need to nurture more.
I guess, Isabel, do you think that we are towards the end here? Do you think that it would make sense to talk about fraud votes? What do you think?
Let's do it. Okay. Isabel, we can't hear you, but if I hope you didn't say no.
Oh, I did say no, because we're running up on the 15. Yeah. We have 15 minutes left, so if you can do it in 15 minutes, but I have a meeting at 9. So
oh, yeah, no worries.
If you can do it in 15 minutes, well, go for it.
And I'll just say here, this is something that's going to come up again. And so, and this is looking, you know, towards a new feature in the future. So it's not really as critical as things we've been discussing about stuff that's deployed right now. But basically, I put a proposal on the forum a few months ago about fraud votes. And fraud votes are very similar to this governance-gated equivocation slashing. And what they are intended to do, it's also for the same purpose. So for mesh security and opt-in security, you need to be able to tell that you need to be able to be sure that the validators not only are not going to double sign, but also that they're not just going to completely run the wrong code. And there are reasons why that's a risk for mesh security and opt-in security, not replicated security, involving token toxicity. I'm not going to get into it. It's kind of complicated. But basically, if you don't have some way to punish validators for literally just running the wrong code, for instance, code that just takes all the money out of everybody's wallet and gives it themselves, then it's not really secure. And so the thing is that fraud proofs, like, don't work yet. And I know, you know, there's definitely Arbitrum, I think, has stuff, like, there's definitely stuff that's in, I think there are maybe a few fraud proofs that do work, but most of the rollups on Ethereum have been, and, you know, have been for years, running basically on, like, multi-sigs. And it's like fraud proofs are this thing that everybody wants, everybody talks about, but it's just, like, a really hard computer science problem. And also, there's also zero knowledge proofs, which perform the same function, also very complicated, even more complicated maybe, but very cool, whatever. The point is they're not existing right now. And so if mesh security was finished or opt-in security is finished today, I don't think it would be secure for consumer chains if you didn't have some kind of fraud proof or whatever. And so I had this proposal on the forum, like, hey, let's think about what if you had not a fraud proof, but a fraud vote. So if somebody sees an instance of incorrect execution on a consumer chain, they can bring up a slash proposal, just like the one we've just been through. And the slash proposal would say this validator participated in an attack, incorrect execution, and you know, they should be slashed for it. And that way you kind of sidestep the need to have it really be something that is proven in a computer science sense. And so I think in theory, yeah, if you suppose that governance is perfect, in theory that works. I think that we probably will need to evaluate this in the light of 818 and with the lessons learned and see, you know, does it still seem like something we want to do? And I'm not saying it isn't, but it's definitely something to think about. And one other thing I'll note is that with these fraud votes, the situations will be much more ambiguous than they even are with double signing. Here with double signing, there's no question the validator is double signed. There's absolutely no debate about it. It's very clear. And there was still debate about it, though, and there's still issues. But with fraud votes, if you're talking about incorrect execution, that's like you could have, let's say you had a situation where a validator on a consumer chain, the consumer chain has a hack, and there is an emergency update to fix the hack. But like a certain validator, let's say, proposes a block which contains basically which is a block that's been run with the old code, and it also contains a transaction to exploit the hack again, that is pretty much indistinguishable. It's impossible to tell as an objective observer whether that validator just literally accidentally had the wrong code and accidentally happened to pick up a transaction that exploited the wrong code. Or if they had themselves, you know, intended to be part of an attack where, you know, they were trying to exploit it. And so it's definitely a lot more ambiguous in that case. And I think moving forward, working on fraud votes and the mesh, the group developing mesh security from Osmosis and Juno and others, they are actually working on fraud votes right now, or last I talked to them, they were thinking about it as well. And so I think this is the kind of thing, like probably one of the lessons that I've learned from 818 is you've got to think of all the scenarios ahead of time and not just say, well, governance will figure it out. So I think we will have to think about, you know, what happens if you have this really ambiguous situation. How are people supposed to vote in that situation? So I think that's something to think about for the future, but we'll be revisiting that topic. In a little while, I suppose, as mesh security nears completion.
Yeah. Can I get a thumbs up or like a happy face emoji from folks in the audience who would love to talk about fraud votes in the future? We're going to do it anyways, but just want to know how many of you will come. Yay. Okay. See some thumbs up. Great. Okay. Well, yes. Apologies, everyone. I, as the host, have to run in a little bit. So thank you all for joining us. And I think that for me, this was a very good discussion and I'm glad everyone was here. And, you know, I think the takeaways are there's work to be done. Thank you for joining us in the community, helping us build a better Cosmos. So really excited to see what the future holds. I'm going to play some outro music as Ethan, Johan, and Matt say goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thanks, guys. Good to see everyone here. We'll see you next time.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
There's this principle in like Taoism where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably it kind of starts to happen. There's this principle in like Taoism, where it's like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, inevitably it kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds slap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web3, that's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code, and now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you beating out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yambato and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? Is it really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
We started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out. Teaching all these plebidites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits. All you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, the shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we'd call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile, over here, rewiring features. More critical thinking, huh? Less knee-jerk, more evolution, less shitcoin preachers. Pretending to be teachers, y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rap fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts, and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the bitter end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.
Channel spaces.